Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. Have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. Once again, we'll get back to you. Amen. And also, I want to give you address and phone number to those of you who would like to get copy of the messages. Once again, the messages, single messages is 75 cents per dozen. Now, some of you, oh, my goodness, there you go with the money thing. Listen, it takes money to print these things off. This is not something where we're begging you for money. But glory be to God. Thank God that he enables the church to get the thing that needed to print it out. So any of the single messages, 75 cents, and that's per dozen, okay, of the messages. And thus far, it's been 120 messages. So if you're interested, if you want to write in, you can write to the Church of Christ Eliza Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ Eliza Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Now, if you want to call, you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one of that number, you can use this number, area code 816-252-2343. That is area code 816-252-2343. The fax number is area code 816-252-0143. Amen. Glory be to God. I thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for once again, I've been off the broadcast for now. It's been over a week. Had some things to come up. Amen. And I want to say this before I go into the lesson today. You know, I shared with you guys last year, the Lord gave me, I think that was last May 2022, and he gave me over a course of a couple months or so concerning conditions that was going to come in the nation, the home, and the church. And he had me to, not only with the message for me, but he told me to tell his people. And some of you may remember I mentioned it on the broadcast. Some of you guys I told maybe in person. And I want to say that ever since the Lord first told me, and he let me know that these conditions will come, and these conditions is going to be changes. And it's going to require faith, and not just faith, but a greater faith to come through it. And I have to say to you all as a testimony, that ever since the Lord dropped that in my spirit, I've been seeing exactly what he's been saying. I've been seeing some things that, you know, there's some things, quote, is out of your control. And you definitely, most definitely have to walk by faith to see God's hand move. And I saw and have been seeing since he said things where that any other time I would get up and do this or do that, but there was things that is like my hands was tied, so to a point that, hey, I definitely needed to believe God to work this thing out. And so the Lord has blessed me to be back on the broadcast today after over a week. I once again had something to come up in the family, but the Lord brought us through. Amen. And remember, as I close this part with this, the Lord gave us the antidote or the solution concerning these changes. He said it's going to require greater faith. He didn't just say changes are going to come and this going to happen, that going to happen, this going to happen, and just left it like that. But then our next question will be, well, what's the antidote, you know, for it? But he gave the antidote, and he said it's going to require greater faith. Amen. Now, having said that, I'm going to go into tonight's lesson or message. I think the way things look, it may be two parts to this. And you guys who heard me on the broadcast, you know how I am. I don't like to rush through it. I don't want to tippy-toe through it, but I don't want to rush through it as well. Okay, so it may be a couple of parts to this message tonight. But the title of this message is, what is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed? What is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed? Now, for some of you who may be listening, you might go, oh, my goodness, there he go again. Boy, he just attacking Mormons. No, it's not about attacking Mormons. I love them with the love of God. But this work of the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious that when anything is evil and ungodly is trying to attach itself to it, it is the duty of me as a believer, and not just only me, but other believers who have accepted this work of the Lord, to call it out as it is. I personally believe and have seen that too many of us as believers are keeping our mouth closed too much. Now, I'm not saying you go blabber and say something every time, every single time. But there's time as a Christian you need to stand and you have to open your mouth. And some of you think that by you being silenced, that's going to be okay. That don't work in every situation. And don't get me wrong, sometimes silence is required in certain situations. Sometimes it's not for you to say anything, okay? But I stress this again. It is not all the time. And some of us, we're going on an all-the-time trail, okay? You know, you won't stand and say nothing. You won't voice where you stand at. Well, let me give you some advice of what's going to get ready to happen. In this end time that we're living in, you're going to voice where you stand, okay? Some of you are not saying something because you're trying to be hid. You know, you got some people who's against the things of God and some people that's for, and especially the people that's against it, whom you may still be, quote, good friends with and very close with. You feel like if I say something, I'm going to damage their relationship. I don't want to do that. So the best thing for me is to keep my mouth closed. Well, here's the thing. Who's number one in your life? Is it Christ or them? So they're going to come a point, and you ain't got to believe, Brother Nate. You just hold on, keep living, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There is going to come a point where you're going to have to voice where you stand, period. You're not going to be able to hide behind anything or anyone. You're not going to be able to, as they say, worm your way out of this. You're going to have to speak and voice where you stand. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, once again, this is not about, quote, attacking Mormons. But here's the thing. When anything, and I say this again, ungodly or evil is trying to attach itself to this work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is holy and sacred, it is not just my duty, but the duty of other believers to call the thing out for what it is. Amen? That's what we need to do. And so the title, once again, of this lesson tonight is, what is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed? What is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed? Now, this is another thing that you will hear many of the Mormons talk about, more or less, if you are on the outside looking in, maybe that you will have to bring it up. I haven't heard the ones I talked to, or I haven't heard from anyone else, that this word of wisdom is just a subject that the Mormons just bring up when they're talking to you. Okay, this is something more of what they claim for you to be a member or whatever, but once again, we will go into this. Now, the first thing I want to do is give a definition from Webster and a definition from the Bible, looking in the concordance, for the word wisdom. Wisdom. Okay. First off, according to Webster, the word wisdom means ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, or in other words, insight, having insight. Okay. The ability to discern. In other words, to when it has the ability to discern, according to Webster, that is having the ability to recognize or identify as separate and distinct. Okay, in other words, like what's right, what's wrong. Okay, amen. So that is one of the definitions of the word wisdom. Amen. Another definition of the word wisdom is good sense or judgment. Okay? Good sense or judgment. Now, when you look at the word wisdom, let's say from the New Testament, in the Greek, the New Testament word for wisdom is Sophia, which means higher or lower, worldly or spiritually, wisdom. Okay? Hallelujah. So, glory. Thank you, Jesus. If we sum it up, hallelujah. Wisdom can deal with having an insight to something and to be able to discern or make distinct, you know, between things like right or wrong. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, when it mentions wisdom, according to how it is in the scripture, it's either going to be what is referred to as the higher or lower wisdom, or the spiritual or worldly. It's according to how it is used in scripture, okay? So it can be spiritual insight of a higher degree, or worldly, quote, insight of a lower degree. So this is dealing with wisdom. Now, once again, the title of this lesson or message is, what is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed? Now, I want to give you a little information on how this particular word of wisdom, what led on the road, per se, to this thing, I don't want to say coming about, but the event that happened that kind of led up to this. And I want to do that first and give you that information first before I tell you what they say that this word of wisdom is. Now, when you go to one of the websites of the Mormons, they have a website, they have a article or whatever titled Chapter 31, The Word of Wisdom, February 1833. So if you were to type in Chapter 31, The Word of Wisdom, February 1833, you will see what I am beginning to read unto you. And this is of the events that led up to this thing here. Okay. Now, clicking on this website, it says, Joseph Smith started a school for men in the church. It was called the School of the Prophets. The school was held in a room in Newell Whitney's store in Kirtland, Ohio. In this school, Joseph and other church leaders taught each other about the priesthood, the scriptures, and other things. The school was to help men prepare for church leadership and missionary service. So Joseph Smith, you know, had this, what they call School of the Prophets, and in here said that Joseph with other church leaders taught each other about the priesthood, about the scriptures and other things, and the purpose of this school was to help the men prepare for church leadership and missionary service, okay? It goes on to say, now listen to this part. Many of the men smoked pipes or cigars, which filled the room with smoke. Some of the men chewed tobacco and spit on the floor, making it very dirty. Now, that's interesting on that, that now their information went a little bit deeper as far as telling that when these men met, it got to a point that many of them were smoking pipes or cigars. It filled the room with smoke. And I think on another site, and I forgot what it was, I was looking at it, where it said when Joseph Smith got ready to speak, the room was so full of smoke, you know. Hey. And so these men, many of them smoking cigars and pipes, and then some of the men was even chewing tobacco and spitting it on the floor. Now, people, that's bad, okay? That's bad. You know, on my job, through the years, there were people who would chew tobacco, and sad to say, they would spit it in the water fountain where we drank water from. And it got to, you know, during the years, at times, they would post up things, and they would post up little, you know, things saying, hey, please don't spit in this. And, you know, someone was spitting tobacco in the water fountain. And I'm not trying to sound vulgar here, but if someone was spitting them in the urine, you know, the men bathroom, some of them was even spitting, you know, where you wash your hands at. And it was clogging up the drains, you know, keeping the water from going through the pipes. So it got pretty bad. So that's just bad hygiene, people. I mean, let's be real. And so according to in Joseph Smith's time, having a quote, supposed to be church gathering, you had men in there not only smoking cigars and pipes, but spitting the stuff, the tobacco on the ground. Now, it goes on to say, Emma Smith, who was Joseph's wife, cleaned the room after each meeting. She and Joseph became concerned about the brethren's use of tobacco. Joseph wondered if people should smoke or chew tobacco. Okay? Joseph prayed to know what was right. Jesus gave him a revelation called the Word of Wisdom. Jesus said that some people want others to do things that are bad for their body. In the word of wisdom, Jesus told the saints about things that are bad for their bodies. He also told them about things that are good for their bodies. Okay? So Emma is cleaning up, and she got to clean up this nasty stuff off the floor, you know? And you know she's going to bring the Joseph's attention, which I don't blame. Okay? And, you know, now Joseph is wondering, you know, hey, he's become concerned about the brother's use of tobacco. And he was wondering, should people chew tobacco or smoke? Okay? And when he said, when he prayed to Jesus to know what was right, said Jesus gave him a revelation called the word of wisdom. Okay? And Jesus said that some people want others to do things that are bad for their bodies. But according to this word of wisdom, hallelujah, Jesus told the saints about things that are bad for their bodies. He also told them things about things that are good for their bodies. Now, there's another website that the Mormons have, and it's titled Word of Wisdom. If you click on or type in Word of Wisdom, churchofjesuschrist.org, and click on it, this is what you're going to see that I'm about to read. And what I'm going to go into now is them explaining more concerning this word of wisdom. What is this word of wisdom? Now, from the other site that I read to you, it is said that this word of wisdom was a revelation that Christ gave to Joseph Smith, who was praying and asking the Lord about whether people should smoke or chew tobacco. And now we're going to look at, I'm going to read to you this other site here, titled Word of Wisdom, and under the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to read to you what they said here. They said, God has revealed the word of wisdom as a commandment for the physical and spiritual benefit of his children. The prophet Joseph Smith received this revelation. Now, notice again that they're calling this word of wisdom to giving to Joseph Smith a revelation, which means that it was something that was revealed to him that, quote, you didn't know. That's interesting. So they call it a revelation, and said that the prophet Joseph Smith received this revelation on February the 27th, 1833. And it is now recorded in section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Now, that's their own, quote, one of their other own books the Mormons got that they claim that it's of God, that Joseph Smith had claimed so many of these revelations. Now, I want to say this before I go on. When Joseph Smith was humble, and I want you guys to listen to this, and I want those of you who are listening who, you know, some of you hear me saying this concerning how the Mormon teaching is wrong and you all excited, but I want you to understand something, and this is not trying to be too shaded. This is being honest. Joseph Smith at one time was a man of God being used by God. That's the truth, okay, at one time. But he failed, okay? He failed. And you are hearing and seeing one of his failures have been coming to fruition now is where he started Mormonism. There were some revelations, and we'll get into it one day, that the Lord did give Joseph Smith that was true when Joseph Smith was humble. Now, notice I keep stressing on that, people, when he was humble. When he got out and went his own way, a lot of that stuff he was claiming that came from the Lord did not come from the true and living God. Okay? In fact, Not only did Satan step in there, but Satan sent a man named Sidney Rigdon to lead Joseph Smith further out the way. Okay? Now, it goes on to say here, Joseph Smith received this revelation on February the 27th, 1833, and it is now recorded in section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants. In the revelation, the Lord teaches healthy practices. He also prohibits some substances that are not good for the human body. Okay? This is what they said is contained in this word of wisdom. Okay? Now, it goes on to say, in the word of wisdom, the Lord declared the following foods are good. Now, I want you to hear this. He declared the following foods that are good. Okay? Fruits and wholesome herbs, including vegetables, which should be used with prudence and thanksgiving. Okay? This is in their Doctrine and Covenant. I guess this is a chapter 89 or whatever, where he said, the Lord said, and again, verily I say unto you, all wholesome herbs God have ordained for the constitution, nature, and use of man, every herb in the season thereof and every fruit in the season thereof, all these to be used with prudence and thanksgiving. Now, this is what he said that the Lord gave him concerning the fruits. Now, here's the thing on that, okay? The Lord actually showed this in the Bible. If you go to, Genesis 1, how he talked about how he made the fruit. The book of Psalms talks about how he made the plants. He talks about this, people, okay? Hallelujah. He talks about this in the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. That's just the Holy Ghost behind it. And see, sometimes when people want the spotlight, they would even say, okay, this is a revelation God gave to me, okay? Now, here's the thing about this, too. And I want to read this next thing he said. He said the Lord told him not only about the fruits and wholesome herbs, but the flesh of beasts, and of the fowls of the air, which is to be used sparingly, okay? Now, in their Doctrine of Covenants 89, chapter 89, verse 12 and 13, he said, yea, flesh also of beasts and of the fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man with thanksgiving. Nevertheless, they are to be used sparingly. And it is pleasing unto me that they should not be used only in times of winter and or of cold or famine. Now, I want to say something to that right there, okay? And what I'm doing now, I'm flipping through my Bible, and I want to tell you guys, I think the exact chapters and whatever to this. When I read this, first of all, you can look in Leviticus chapter 11. I'm going to tell you why I'm giving you this. Now, I noticed that he said that in this word of wisdom concerning the flesh of beasts and of the fowls of the air, which he said is to be used sparingly. Okay. Now, reading that revelation further, it says that God told him, yea, flesh also of beasts and of the fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man with thanksgiving. Nevertheless, they are to be used sparingly. And it is pleasing unto me that they should not be used, only in times of winter or of cold or famine. Now, here's the thing ironic to me. When you read, especially Leviticus 11th chapter, and it's also found in Deuteronomy, notice that what I read to you, they said that he said that God told him that God said flesh also a beast and of the fowls of the air. When you read Leviticus, we are told specific beast to eat. Am I right about it? We're not, see here, what I read to you, notice that he said that the Lord told him, said, yea, flesh also a beast and other fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man. So he didn't give no specific beast or flesh here. But then in Leviticus, he gave you specifics. He told you what beasts of the field you not to eat, which was considered unclean, and then he told you what beasts of the field that is clean. Well, it's kind of funny that since he got this word of wisdom revelation from God about the food, that God did not stress once again what he already had told to the people in Leviticus. That's amazing, ain't it? Amen. Because here, all he said is what? Flesh also of beasts and the fowls of the air. You're leaving that open for any beast, okay, for any bird. When you look in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we are told specific beasts or fowls that we could eat. That it was always, notice, it was put in the category of what, clean or unclean. So our God is specific. See, people don't get this. They think that God can't be specific, but I beg to differ with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ can be specific. He is not all over the place. He can be specific. And so it's kind of ironic to me that in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, he was specific about what beast that you can eat that is clean, what beast that you cannot eat that's unclean, what fowl you can eat that's clean, and what fowl you cannot eat that's unclean. But then this revelation that is given to Joseph Smith, he just said, flesh of the beast and fowls of the air. So that means you're leaving it open for what? Any beast or any fowl. It's just amazing on that. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm thinking like, okay, Lord, why, if you were to have, and I'm thinking, if the Lord has given you this revelation, how come he wasn't specific on this? Because when you say flesh of also the beast and other fowls of the air, I can see if he said flesh also to the beast and the fowls of the air that I gave to the children of Israel, I can see if he said that. But he does not say that right here that I'm looking at, Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 89, verse 12 through 13, there's no mention of any specific beast or fowl of the air. No mention. Now, once again, I told you where to go to. You click on Word of Wisdom, okay, the Church of Jesus Christ, and then when you click on there and you read down where he said, flesh of beasts and of the fowls of the air, in the blue writing, they'll tell you where that revelation is found at in their book called Doctrine of Covenants, chapter 89, verse 12 through 13. You click on that blue writing, and to the side there, it will show you what chapter 89 of Doctrine and Covenants, verses 12 through 13 say. And when you read it, you will notice that there was no specific beast or fowl mentioned. And there was no reference back to what he gave Israel in this, quote, revelation that he's supposed to have given Joseph Smith. Well, it wasn't. So, you know, you go like, well, Lord, you were specific with Israel. Why you couldn't be specific now? Amen. But I notice in this supposed to be revelation from the Lord, he gave a specific time of the year to eat this stuff, okay? You know, but you didn't give what type of specific beast. Here's the thing, too, on that we need to see and understand, too, that even some Christians, I'm talking about true, loving Christians, and I'm going to tell you, I was once in that same condition. They think that since we are in New Testament day time now, that you can eat anything. They say, hey, fire said, just pray over your food. You can eat anything. Well, and they refer to, I think that's 1 Timothy chapter 4. They're referring to that. But see, if you really read that chapter deeply, it talks about foods that God had given for thanksgiving, that's good. Remember, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, he declared what was clean and unclean. So you still, listen, understand this. The animals have not changed. You get what I'm saying? So what God called unclean in the Old Testament, you want to hear this? It ain't unclean today, okay? What God called clean in the Old Testament is still clean today, okay? See, you said, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, we changed. We was called clean. Wait a minute. Man was the one made in the image of God, not animals. Animals were not made in the image of God. Man was. So the animal that God tells you unclean, guess what today they are? Still unclean. There is no change. Now some of you go to Acts and say, well, you know, the Lord let down that sheep before Peter and told that, and Peter, he said, slay, eat Peter. And Peter said, no, Lord. And the Lord said, what God has cleansed, thou shalt not call common. You got to understand, when God did that, he was not talking about the literal beast. Those beasts symbolically represented people. And he was letting Peter know that his word was going to the Gentiles as well, and they can be saved and born again and cleansed by the power of the blood. That's what was the purpose of those animals, okay? Symbolically representing the people. Not no changing from what God called unclean to clean. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's continue on. They go on to say, the Lord revealed in the word of wisdom the following substance that are harmful. Now, at first, remember, it said in this word of wisdom, God revealed the things that was good for man, and he revealed the things that were harmful. Well, this is what he said about the things that are harmful. Alcoholic drinks, amen, and in their Doctrine of Covenants, chapter 89, verse 5 through 7, this is what he said the Lord told him, said, that inasmuch as any man drink wine or strong drink among you, behold, it is not good, neither meat in the sight of your Father, only in assembling yourself together to offer up your sacraments before him. And behold, this should be wine, yea, pure wine of the grape of the vine of your own make. And again, strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing of your bodies. Strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing. Strong drinks is for the washing of your bodies. That's interesting. Very interesting. Hallelujah. So he's saying that drinking wine or strong drink is not good, neither meat in the sight of your Father, only in assembling yourself together to offer up your sacraments before him. Now, wait a minute. That almost sounds like the Lord said, drinking wine or strong drink among you is not good, neither meat in the sight of your Father, only in assembling yourselves together to offer up your sacrament before him. And behold, this should be wine, yea, pure wine of the grape of the vine, of your own make. Wow. Now, he mentions wine, strong drink, not being good. And he talks about how strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing of your bodies. And then he goes on to say, in this word of wisdom, tea and coffee, hallelujah, the latter-day prophets have taught that the term hot drinks, as written in this verse, refers to tea and coffee. Now, in their Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 89, verse 9, Joseph Smith said, the Lord said, and again, hot drinks are not for the body or belly. Wow. And said, now, get this. They said that he said that the Lord told him, hot drinks are not for the body or belly. But they go on to say that the latter days prophets have taught that the term hot drinks, as written in this verse, refers to tea and coffee. Now, it said the latter day prophets taught this. It didn't say that that was revealed to them, that that's what the Lord was talking about. See, hallelujah. We got to see where man is coming up with stuff and where they're dipping in stuff and saying, okay, it really means this versus really something God has revealed. So they're saying that when God told Joseph Smith about hot drinks not being good for the body or belly, that he was talking about tea and coffee. But once again, they do stress that the latter-day prophets taught this. They're not saying nor getting indication that the Lord revealed to them that the hot drinks he's supposed to have been talking about were tea and coffee. Wow. They go on to say the Lord promises increased health, wisdom, knowledge, and protection to those who obey the word of wisdom. Okay? And their Doctrine and Covenant, chapter 89, verse 18 to 21. It said that all saints who remember to keep and do these things, walk in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass by them as the children of Israel, and not slay them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it goes on to say that since its introduction, prophets have taught about the importance of following the word of wisdom, talking about their prophets now. In addition, they have taught church members to avoid substances that impair judgment or are harmful or highly addictive, whether legal or illegal. For example, vaping, the misuse of prescription drugs, and the recreation use of marijuana violate church teaching. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, I want to read to you scripture from the word of the Lord here. Thank you, Jesus. And this comes from, now remember, Jesus told us in the Bible, Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 4, when he talks about the Elijah, Malachi chapter 3, this same being is also known as his messenger. Jesus promised to send him before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which is before the second coming of Christ, which is the day and time we're living in today. Now, having said that, Jesus has been sending his angel messenger from the date of February the 4th, 1927, to, I believe it's April the 22nd, 1994, 120 times, listen to this, thus far, okay, thus far. Why do you say thus far, Brother Nate? Because his work is not over. His work is not finished. So he's going to be sending him again. But so far, 120 times, okay? Now, remember what I just read to you, that Joseph Smith said he got this revelation. He called the word of wisdom a revelation. And he tells you what God said, and he said the Lord told him about things that will be helpful for the body of his people, and then that will be harmful, okay? Now, he mentions what? Strong drinks and alcohol beverages, you know, is not good. But then he mentions hot drinks, you know, and he mentions and the latter-day prophets of the Mormon church said the hot drinks mean tea and coffee. So you guys stay away from tea and coffee. I come to understand this too. every tea ain't drunk and hot, okay? Now, coffee is mainly better when it's hot, but, you know, in this day and time, they done just got ridiculous. I used to be a big coffee lover, I'm going to be honest with you, but I never was a lover of coffee cold. And now you got them serving coffee like you know, regular pop, okay? But anyhow, that's another story. But I say that to say this, that he mentions, and they also talks about things that is addictive. What he said that is substances that impair judgment or are harmful or highly addictive. And what I'm looking for is to see whether in their statement, but it looked like it's not there, what was said about that. But what I want to do is I want to read to you, hallelujah, when the Lord sent his angel, February the 4th, 1927, the very first thing that the Lord authorized this angel to say or talk about or to speak on. And remember, the angels of the Lord, what they tell you, they're authorized by God. They're not coming here to tell you something that God does not authorize for them to tell you. So my advice to you is that if you ever come across an angel of the Lord, be ready that if you ask him something that he's not authorized to answer, get this, you will not. I repeat, you will not get an answer, okay? Because if he ain't authorized by God to tell it, he ain't. I mean, we're as people, we're different at times. We would tell people stuff that God didn't tell us not to tell, you know, and he didn't authorize to tell it, and we mess up stuff. But the angels of the Lord, whatever message God sent them to give you, that is what they're going to give. They're not giving no other message, people, okay? They're not giving no other message. They're going to give the message what God has given them to give. So on February the 4th, 1927, the very, very, very first thing that the Lord authorized this angel to say is that, this is what he said. He said, don't change the articles in faith and practice because the Lord inspired the men that wrote them. He said, see to it that they are not changed. The very first thing the Lord had this angel to say, his first appearance with messages from the throne of God, is that he talks about the articles of faith and practice. Now, the articles of faith and practice, God inspired some men of God on what is called the temple lot to, and it's also of a foundation where the church could stand on, and approximately God inspired them to write, let me give you the number, 25 things where each one start off with, we believe, expressing unity of the Church of Christ with the life of message, believing in this, what God has inspired the men to say. Now, once again, the word of the Lord I'm reading to you here has is of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's been sending his angel messenger. Some of you that's listening say, well, that's you saying it. That don't mean that it's real. Well, this is why we always tell you people, you all that's listening, to ask the Lord for yourself. We're not here trying to force this down on you. I'm telling you that I personally sought the Lord about this work and these messages, and the Lord revealed to me by his spirit, 100% no doubt it is true. Okay? Amen. So the Lord said he inspired the men to write what is called the Articles of Faith in Christ. Well, I want to read to you of this Articles of Faith in Practice, the very last verse of these 25, the Lord spoke about or inspired these men to write this, that is, I don't want to say that's like, it's similar to what we're reading here, but here the Lord inspired these men to write these things, okay? And I want you to hear what the Lord inspired the men of God to write in the Argument of Faith and Practice. I ask that you give your undivided attention. Now, this is what he said. He said, we believe that ministry and membership should abstain from the use of tobacco, intoxicating liquors and narcotics, and listen to this, and should not affiliate with any society which administers oaths and covenants in conflict with the law of God or which interferes with their duties as freemen and citizens. Now, it's amazing that the same God that Joseph Smith and the Mormons claim spoke this, quote, word of wisdom to Joseph Smith, the same God that inspired these men to write here what is called the Articles of Faith and Practice, one of the things he does not mention in here is hot drinks. He doesn't mention coffee and tea, okay? He mentions the what? I read to you, what? Abstain from the use of tobacco, doesn't mention tobacco, intoxicating liquors and narcotics. Do you hear that? And get this other part. Now, this is the other part right here that we know that Joseph Smith failed at with so far under their articles of the Doctrine and Covenants thing. Now, this word of wisdom that God's supposed to give Joseph Smith, all he talked about was the food, what was helpful, what was harmful. But it's amazing he didn't mention about this last part that God inspired the men in the Articles of Faith and Practice, where he said, and should not affiliate with any society which administers oath. Well, we know that Joseph Smith was in the Masonic thing, people. Come on. Come on. We know that. You think a lot of his temple ceremonies and stuff came from, okay? Where you think a lot of his so-called passwords and handshakes came from? Amen. I'm going to stop it here today. Come back with a part two. Lord said the same tomorrow. I'm going to stop it right here. But, people, it is something to think about. Something to think about. And it's just amazing. I believe, and this is where witnesses, the Lord always have himself witnesses of what he do. But I believe that if God told you about a specific subject and gave you specific words for it, I can be 2,000 or 3,000 miles away from you. And if it's being the same God, can tell me the same thing he told you, point blank. Point blank. Point blank. And the Lord inspired these men to write the Articles of Faith and Practice. They do mention intoxicating liquors and narcotics, but they don't mention hot drinks. They don't mention coffee and tea. Okay? But Joseph Smith and the Lord said, well, coffee and tea. Now, I understand that sometimes as I get ready to close, you know, certain people may be given a word for them not to drink it. Now you say, what do you mean? Well, everybody can't eat the same thing or drink the same thing. For example, you know, I give you an example like this. I would love to eat bananas, but my body does not fully agree with bananas. I might can eat one, where other people can maybe eat two or three. I go to eating two or three, it really hurts my stomach, okay? And so if I kept going around eating bananas like that and kept hurting and stuff like that, what do you think God's going to tell me? He's going to say, son, quit fooling with the bananas. Now, what he's telling me, go for me, but for the next brother that can tolerate it, he may not say it for him. Because bananas can't be healthy and it's good having potassium in it, okay? But once again, I can't tolerate it, per se, because it hurts me in my stomach. But then some of you can probably eat it, and it probably don't bother you, okay? So, of course, a specific word, maybe a rhema, specific personal word, God could give to say, hey, you need to quit fooling with that, okay? Because, see, there's sometimes there's a specific personal word for just an individual, and then there's a time that there's a word for the corporate body. So I'm going to stop it there. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the blessed word of God. I thank you for this opportunity you've given. I thank you for blessing us on this blessed day. And Father, I thank you for all that have been listening and tuned in to the broadcast. To you be the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.